Love is all around. Theme from the Mary Tyler Moore Show. It's rather idyllic, isn't it? Palette member Kristen Henning and her husband sold the family home in Minneapolis, Minnesota. They've been living in living a nomadic life, traveling all around the world, writing and photographing the most fabulous destinations. But every now and then they return to their hometown, which is where Kristen reports from as she chats with Graham Kemlow about the forgotten Midwestern city that they call a flyover town, as most jet routes don't stop there.
Welcome back to the show, Kristen.
Thank you very much. It's fun to be able to talk about my hometown.
Yeah, well, tell us about it. What is Minneapolis, Minnesota? What's it famous for?
Well, it's really famous for no one knowing exactly where it is. As I travel around the world, people sort of gloss over and have no idea. They may know a basketball player, or if they're from Spain, or a musician if they're from around the world, and that's their identity. It's also called flyover land. It's Minneapolis is, just so that your listeners can visualize, about 400 miles northwest of Chicago. So we are part of the Midwest. We're often called the Upper Midwest because we are the North Country. And it truly is flyover land. You don't really drive through here on the way to any place. Best way to travel here is by plane, and we'll talk about the airport a little bit. But Minneapolis was first settled after the Native Americans, of course, by French explorers, and then coming up the Mississippi River, which is the lifeblood of the Twin Cities. We're a metropolitan area of Minneapolis and St. Paul and surrounding area. It's about 3.5 million people now, and it's in addition to the Mississippi being the direction of the exploration, there was also through the Great Lakes from the north along the Canadian border, the trading routes started by John Jacob Astor when he was first trying to find a westward passage, and Lewis and Clark. So
okay.
We had early explorers, and the river has been really what founded this area. There was a waterfall here called St. Anthony Falls, and quickly what came to pass is that the mill industry was booming. We were the biggest mills in the country, and shipping, processing grain and shipping it from here all over the country. So that's kind of how it started.
Okay, and the river is quite wide and navigable at Minneapolis?
Well, the river is navigable up to this point. It's technically now, there were locks in Minneapolis which are not used so much anymore. The final locks in the river for big ships, barges, and in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area. So this is sort of the end of large boat navigation.
So no steamboats?
Oh, no. And it's no. I was just traveling down the Mississippi in the Mississippi Delta, where it's a mile and more wide. Here it's a quarter, less than a half a mile wide.
Okay.
It's just the beginning. The very start of the Mississippi River is also in Minnesota, at a place called Itasca, Lake Itasca.
Okay.
And to get to the Canadian border from here is another 400 plus miles to the north. So the 45th parallel runs directly through the Twin Cities, and we do have, being landlocked and on the 45th parallel, almost perfectly temperate weather. We have four distinct seasons, and that's also our claim to fame. People from other parts of the country are aghast that anyone would live here through our bitter cold winters, and we of course wonder how they can stand the heat down in Texas and Louisiana.
Okay, well, it actually doesn't sound that different from Melbourne, which has got the four distinct seasons, except I think your winter's a bit colder. You get snow, right?
Yes, we get a lot of snow, and it will be, it will generally every winter hit 20 degrees below Fahrenheit.
Oh,
on the coldest day, so it's quite a bit colder than Melbourne. Yeah,
no wonder
we don't have any oceans to make it temperate.
Right, so no wonder you disappeared from your hometown for this past number of years. you and Tom.
That's right.
We've talked before about your nomadic attitude. So, but it must be interesting being back in your hometown.
It really is, and I just had a chance to look around with a group of other travel writers a couple weeks ago, and it was a lot of fun to see how visitors were led around. The reason for that particular invitation was that the Twin Cities, Minneapolis specifically, is hosting the big National Football League Super Bowl coming up this February. That's a big deal in that new football stadium, which is quite controversial because of the public money used. They're also hosting again next summer the X Games, and that's a huge, huge event. We've also hosted some major golf events, basketball events, and we're a big hockey town too.
Okay, well, actually, you know, there's interesting similarities. Melbourne, of course, prides itself on being the sporting capital of the known universe.
That's right.
You know, anyway, look, it's a good thing to hang your hat on. Let me tell you, Melbourne's been very successful in that role from the 1956 Olympics and some Commonwealth Games.
And then tennis, of course.
Tennis, horse racing. Yeah, there's a bit of stuff goes on here. Anyway, so tell us more about...
What's interesting as a local is that I see so much more in the sports scene seems almost superficial, because what really happened in the Twin Cities, the sports stuff has come up more recently, but what built up in the Twin Cities after the major corporations settled in, and those major corporations included, first and foremost, General Mills and Pillsbury, those businesses that came from the grain industry. What followed was the advertising industry. We're a huge creative market for advertising after New York. Then what followed really is those companies wanting to demonstrate that they were good corporate citizens.
Okay.
So the funding for arts and culture has always been phenomenal here, and we've got a lot of institutions to demonstrate that. The Guthrie Theater was one of the first regional theaters in the country that really held its own, started by Tyrone Guthrie. The Walker Arts Center is fabulous. Minneapolis Institute of Arts collection is among the biggest Asian art collections outside of China. And then about 10 years ago, we had this resurgence in the arts that came from the architecture standpoint. All of these institutions seem to simultaneously need new buildings or expansions. And so we had the world's greatest architects coming here, and I believe kind of competing with each other to see what they could do. And it's a great architectural landscape for Frank Gehry, Pelly, Novell, Herzog and Miron. So just walking around downtown Minneapolis, you can see a half a dozen world-class architecture examples as well.
Hmm. Oh, well, that really does sounds interesting. And you said the city being 3.5 million, that's the Twin Cities, is it?
That's the metropolitan area of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and surrounding area, yes.
Right. So if some Aussies want to come and visit Minneapolis, Minnesota, what sort should they look out for? Is there a vibrant food and wine and beverage scene there?
I think a lot of people come for the music scene and the art scene and the food scene. I should just mention real quickly too that our airport, which is MSP code, is not too friendly, being in the center of the country, to international direct flights. But for Aussies, I'd recommend maybe looking at flights through Vancouver rather than through the California cities. An idea. And then you can fly direct from Vancouver here. Of course, we have a lot of direct flights to Europe. Delta Airlines is sort of the owner of the Twin Cities, and to the detriment of competitive pricing here. But once here, I think depending upon the age of the traveler, a lot of people come to visit First Avenue, the club made famous by Prince. You can now visit Prince's studio called Paisley Park, which I just visited for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and it's really quite impressive.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of international artists recorded there under Prince's tutelage, and the theaters. But also, the outdoor activity is a huge draw. From the United States, people come through here to get to the North Woods for fishing. the Twin Cities themselves. Minneapolis has a chain of lakes, and there are parkways all around the lakes and all along the river. Was the early founders made sure that no waterfront was privately owned. So all of our lakes and rivers are lined by parkway and bike trails. It's an extremely bike-friendly city.
Has Minneapolis been the subject of a television show?
Well, you might be referring to Mary Tyler Moore in the old days. I don't know if you're familiar with that show.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show was ostensibly taking place in Minneapolis.
Okay.
I used to live a couple blocks from the house that was used for the exterior shots.
Okay.
And you still see a statue of her throwing her beret up in the air downtown on Nicollet Mall. The food, before we jump too far from that, you asked. Minneapolis is really just coming into its own. People were biased against the fact that it has a Scandinavian and German heritage and thought that it was not very creative in the way of food preparation. Maybe that was true a few decades ago, but it's really a wonderful, eclectic scene and relies both on freshwater fish and farm produce and garden produce for its restaurant fare. One of the classic dishes in Minnesota is walleye, or even more rare, perch, which are delicate, wonderful freshwater fish. Another very unique dish to Minnesota is wild rice, which is farmed only, harvested only by Native Americans. And it's a real delicacy. We only eat it once or twice a year, probably.
Well, it's not a place I visited, I have to confess. But maybe I've just been flying over, as we tend to do.
Now you're invited.
Well, thank you.
Graham Kemlow there, speaking with Kristen Henning, back home briefly in Minneapolis.